It's Marketplace Tech Report from APM. Stephen Smith in for John Moe. Like a lot of us, writer Andrew Blum spends part of each day tooling around the web. One day, Blum's home connection slowed to a crawl. A squirrel chewed through the wiring outside. That vandalizing rodent got Blum thinking. Practically all of us rely on the internet in everyday life, but how does the physical system that brings us Hulu and the HuffPost actually work? Andrew Blum gives answers in his new book, Tubes, A Journey to the Center of the Internet. You may be surprised at how simple it can be.
I went and visited the place called the Landing Station that's essentially a lighthouse. It's the place where the light that transmits information across the ocean comes from. And it's about the size of a sort of large suburban house tucked away in a relatively inconspicuously in a seaside neighborhood. And literally there's a in the corner of the room, there's a cable that comes out of the ground. And at the place I visited in Cornwall in England, it says AC1, cable to USA. And that's it. That's the cable that goes to America.
In my house, I have, you know, a cable connection that brings in my internet and my cable TV. I've got plumbing. I've got electricity. And as long as the stuff works, I really don't care where it leads to. Now, a squirrel ate through your internet and that piqued your curiosity. But why should I care about what's behind that plug in the wall out there in the internet world?
Well, at the moment, we don't even know that the internet has parts and pieces. I mean, that's the first step in sort of having a conversation about how we might have better parts and pieces. And it seems as if we're on the brink of a new era in home internet in the U.S., which is we're going to have caps and metered billing. It's no longer going to be this all-you-can-eat buffet. Instead, the cable companies are going to say, oh, you know, you're only allowed, you know, 100 gigabytes of data per month. Or maybe it'll be a sort of cell phone type thing where it's you can download more after midnight and that doesn't count. At the moment, though, we're sort of living in our own kind of cloud without any concern other than we are online.
And the point is that no one entity or even 10 entities owns the internet. It's owned by, what, 1,000, a million?
Well, surprisingly few. I would say there are about 300 or 400 internet networks that are the biggest pieces. And of course, in the U.S., the biggest pieces are getting very big. I'm thinking in particular of Comcast and Google. But the whole enterprise depends on the autonomous actions of independently owned networks. And as one network gets a lot bigger, that dynamic starts to shift pretty dramatically.
Author Andrew Blum speaking to us from the BBC in Edinburgh, Scotland, through a series of cables and routers stretching from the back of his microphone to our studio in the U.S. Blum's new book is Tubes, A Journey to the Center of the Internet. Making batteries smaller is the holy grail for people designing new mobile devices. Researchers at Rice University in Texas may have a breakthrough. Batteries that you can paint onto a device. A typical battery is made up of layers of individual cells that convert chemical energy into electrical energy. Instead of stuffing all those cells into a round tube like a AA battery, researchers at Rice painted layer after layer of cells onto objects like a coffee mug, and it worked. Grad student Neelam Singh helped lead the project.
If we can make different shapes or different size of the batteries, not the conventional rectangular or cylindrical shapes of the battery, we can pack batteries very efficiently.
So let's say you wear a bracelet that's actually a flexible computer screen, which is also in the works. Then the battery can be painted on the back. And what color? Well, black, naturally. It goes well with evening wear or togs for the beach. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm Stephen Smith.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.